This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Baby, coming in heavy with the guitar on a Friday morning at 7 o'clock. How you doing?
You asked a good question in our conversation during the break and said something to the effect of like, is Cleveland the NFL's version of hell?
It's the humbling pit of hell, man. That's what I was telling Mac. I was like talking to Jay Pinkley just now. What'd he say? Cleveland picks twice in the first four picks of the second round. What if they take Shador at 33 and then take Luther Burden at 35?
Oh, my gosh. That's a nice little setup right there, right?
You take two guys that probably a year ago today were setting themselves up to be top 15 picks.
No doubt.
Maybe that's a stretch on Luther.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right about that, yeah.
And then fast forward the clocks a year, and it's you both fall out of the first round, and you both get drafted by Cleveland. Here you go.
Here you go, right?
And no jacket, but something much, much more exotic. But no, that's just kind of like where my head started to spin as I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, we're bringing up the before topic about how you could be humbled by not living up to the expectation maybe you had. There's no more bottomless pit of hell
right
in football than Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio.
I mean, it's just like Binkley said, they have a mannequin downtown of a guy that's a oxygen quarterback. What is it now, like 40
some quarterbacks that have played there. Yeah, no, it is. It is hell on earth when it comes to professional football. Nobody wants to be there. The team left, for God's sakes. That's how bad that place is. But they do have the first pick tonight. They have 33 tonight. Then Houston now has the second pick of the second round, which is the pick the Giants had to jump back in.
I can see Burden going there, too, since Tank Dell's going to be out all year, and they got rid of Stephon Diggs.
Which is very interesting to think about, right? Yeah. Tennessee picking third. You know, you've got a quarterback in Cam Ward now. What do you need to do? You need to surround the guy with weapons.
He's got one of the best receivers in the league.
DK Metcalf, not DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett.
Cal Ridley.
I still think you need more if you're them, but maybe you decide to go an offensive lineman at that point. Like, you've got Cam Ward now. Your number one goal is to make sure that Cam Ward has success. No matter how you have to do it, if you're in Nashville, you got to make sure that guy has success, because if you don't, Tommy Callahan or whoever the hell the coach is down there, he's gone, right? Because this is his guy now. You've got to make sure that you're showing this guy and your ownership that this kid is a good quarterback and having success, so you surround him with talent. Then Cleveland picks four, and then the Raiders come back at five tonight. So those are your top five picks. Cleveland with two of those top five picks. I can see Luther Burden going in that top five, as he should, I think, at that spot. Who goes first, Shador Sanders or Luther Burden?
Burden.
You think so?
I think so.
Wait a second. Didn't you say yesterday that Shador was going to be that first-round pick and lost to, like, Riblets at Applebee's? Or?
Well, things change overnight.
No, I said Sanders wasn't going to go in the first round.
Oh, you said Sanders wasn't going to go.
No, we bet on Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart was my other guy Jackson that I thought was going to drop.
Anakin Skywalker.
Who did you think was going to be the second quarterback take?
I didn't think there was going to be a second quarterback last night.
Okay.
And I was damn close for that Giants trade.
Watch Cleveland take Jalen Milroe.
Well, I like Jalen Milroe.
And that's where I am right now. Let's talk about Jalen Milroe for a second, okay?
Please.
Because I hope, and this is just, you know, I hope he goes before Shador just to see Kuiper melt down. Because now I am now here for the rest of the draft to see Mel Kuiper melt down as pick after pick is not Shador Sanders,
yes, that's
right?
Good.
And so I'm hoping Milroe and that sloth from Louisville both get picked before Shador Sanders, just to see the meltdown of Mel Kuiper, because it was in full effect last night. And by God, if Jalen Milroe goes before Shador Sanders today, Mel Kuiper may blow a gasket, and that's good for the show. And that's entertaining. 100%. And I'm here for this kind of stuff.
Love
so, and again, that's not me hating Shador Sanders.
No.
I'm a fan. I want this kid to be good. I'm rooting for the kid, right? But I'm also rooting for drama, and I'm also rooting for Mel Kiper to melt down on TV. So,
just scrolling the X sphere, Pro Football Focus, biggest steals from day one of the 2025 NFL draft. First name on the list is Josh Simmons.
Of course, yeah.
Man, so here we go again.
Yeah. Binkley's going to be the outlier, and I'll be honest with you, Jay, and I am speaking to you because I know he's listening right now. You need to stick to that. You need to be convicted of that the entire time that you didn't like that pick. And then when he plays well, you can say, well, okay, I was wrong. It's no big deal. We're all wrong all the time on stuff like this. But so many people are saying that same thing there, Dusty, about the steal of the draft is Josh Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, other names as well. That was just the first thing they had on the list. Mac, you were there. I don't want to talk about our conversation at the zoo where we found out some very interesting things about the animals there yesterday.
Smash.
How in awe was like Bob when Goodell came out last night? Like Bob was like in love.
I am.
Bob was loving the Goodell stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, he's like, he's the best commissioner in sports. I'm like, low bar.
You know, very low bar. It is a low bar.
But he was like, look at this guy, man. Everybody hates this effing dude, and he's just like, here we are, baby. So Bob's like all in on heel Goodell.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you like the self-deprecation of Goodell.
I do. I think it's important in life. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to make fun of yourself and realize we're all just, you know, idiots in this world, right? and there's nothing wrong with that. And for a long time, Roger Goodell was public enemy number one, right? And he, you know, the booze and all that kind of stuff. Then COVID happened, and Roger Goodell led like a badass during COVID. There was not one better leader in the world than Roger Goodell was during COVID. And the way that he did a good job with the drive-through, right? Yeah. But I mean, the way that he led and the way that he directed the NFL, all of that was just unbelievable, right? They didn't miss a game. There was no labor disputes, like baseball dropping the ball on all of that. And those baseball players looking like total silver spooners with the way that they acted during COVID and risking my life, bro. And the NFL figured out a way to navigate it all and to get, you know, America kind of back. So I love Goodell for that. And then last night he comes out on a bike, which is outstanding because as somebody tweeted, most people in Wisconsin ride bikes because they have DUIs, right? Is that the tweet that you found?
Yeah, it was from Caleb Presley. He's got Luka on Sunday, the chat. He's got Luka Doncic on the show. You would love Caleb Presley.
Would I?
If you, I'll send
relation
you.
To Elvis?
He kind of looks like. No, he used to be with Barstool. I don't know if he is anymore, but he does the interviews where he asks like the super serious, funny questions.
Yeah, right.
That guy,
okay.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
So, yeah, but so I thought that was funny. So they came out on the bikes, which if you've ever been to training camp at River Falls back then, everybody rode bikes everywhere, right? Everybody was on bikes. And so I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. An homage to Wisconsin.
He came out with Lil Wayne.
Came out with Lil Wayne. Came out wearing the sneakers and the suit, you know, which is, you know, yesterday.
I love that look.
I love the look. I think it's a great look. And I love the fact that he embraced it and didn't try to be like this, I'm uptight guy. I'm commissioner, man. I'm going to wear hard shoes. No, he's going with the style that all the kids are going with. He is relatable. His performance during the draft during COVID, where he's sitting there eating M&Ms at his house and things like that, like, I just don't, and he's doing handshakes with the guys. He's got the whole thing choreographed. Like, he is there for the show. He understands what the show is about. He gets it. It's one of the great heel turns in sports, man. Like, he went from the heel and now I feel like that guy is now universally loved by everybody out there. Like, he does get the boos because that's still kind of the thing. But you're not really booing him anymore. You're kind of embracing Roger Goodell. And, you know, you said that it's the style. I'm at the eighth grade pictures yesterday before the dance and all the mini Macs out there, because they are mini Macs. I will just tell you this. They're not that much younger than you are.
What?
And we're getting ready for the eighth grade dance. And
all.
It's not that much younger than you. It's not.
Half my life.
Well,
it seems pretty long.
From that point, you're half my life,
yes,
bro.
Exactly.
So, so all the kids are out there. They're in their suits and their Air Jordans and things like that. And I'm like, all right, so they got the memo.
Heck yeah.
All the boys are walking around and it's all mini Max and mini Binks because they're all like, well, we got to watch the draft. And I told all the boys, I said, look, you're at a dance. You got the girls, you got the stuff going on. Don't worry about the draft. I said, it's my job. I'm not paying attention to the draft. Okay. You got to go out there and pay attention to what's going on at the dance. So talking to all the mini Max and mini Binks that were all dressed like Roger Goodell, like you're not going to see the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, dressed like that or acting like that. Adam Silver sure as hell isn't going that direction.
Show me his face.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about Gary Bettman. I don't know who's been a bigger turn of character than Roger Goodell has been.
Turn around. I want to see Potter.
Do you have an idea of who that could be?
of like a guy who's gone from like heel to face?
Yeah.
Zero to hero?
Yeah.
I mean, I sent it last night, but I know I get eye rolls. Like Bryson DeChambeau's kind of been that guy.
That doesn't resonate for me, though.
No, but I mean, we're talking personality, but like he went from being like the bro that everyone hated that like now a lot of people are starting to come around on and think that like he's kind of made a new sort of persona of himself.
Mayor's gone the other way.
He was on Jeopardy, by the way.
He was?
Yeah.
Why?
They had a question up. It said, I think it was like this mayor of a hometown team always makes bets with opposing teams of Super Bowl cities for barbecue.
Oh.
And that is?
The mayor of Kansas City, Kansas?
Oh.
Craig Skoog of Overland Park?
What was that guy's name for New Orleans? Scoot?
Scoot?
Yeah.
He has a Scoot. Oh, I see. I thought Mayor L was out there. Which mayor lost two professional franchises to a neighboring state in one calendar year?
Good hell. Joey Chestnut, Father Chestnut.
It does kind of look like him.
No,
yeah.
But I don't know, man. There's not, I mean, because sports are so short-lived. Like, I don't know what Brady ever did when he went to Tampa. I think people still were kind of like, eh.
Nothing like this, though, with the Brady, you
know. More often than not, people go in reverse.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
more often than not, like Rodgers, I think, went in reverse.
Embiid went in reverse.
Yeah.
Embiid went in reverse. Aaron Rodgers definitely went in reverse. But I'm trying to think, like, off the top of my head, who that guy was that everybody just universally hated. You know who's kind of that way? And I'm only saying this because I hate Boston. Big Poppy. Once he went, this is our effing city, man, the bombing, everybody that loved cool. Big Poppy.
Yeah.
What about A-Rod? Is A-Rod, because back?
He never was liked.
Yeah, they still don't like him. Yeah, never liked him.
I don't think anybody ever liked him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in Seattle complaining that Griffey was getting more public. Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, but I'm also...
Griffey.
But also, though, with A-Rod, he's kind of gone from a hater to kind of likable now or not? Or are we not liking A-Rod?
No.
I'm not liking A-Rod. Okay.
I still don't.
Okay.
I mean... Good for him. Like, he's made a career after baseball where he was not liked by anyone. And
right.
He's still, like, you know, doing his own thing. But, no, I don't know, man. It's tough. But, yeah, I do love that Goodell embraced the hate. Obviously, it's easy with the product that he is the leader of. I mean, he doesn't really have to do much to sell his product. Like, hey, you want this super cool, awesome, entertaining thing that lasts, like, 8 months? Yes? Okay, just sign here. And then he's got Manfred and Silver to compete with.
Right.
Shut me his face.
What about what you said, Baker Mayfield, too, last night?
Which I think that's kind of there.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker in college, like, remember the grabbing of the crouch against Kansas? And then he, like, what was it? He was running from the cops or something like that and then hit, like, a guardrail when he was hammered. Then he showed up looking like Marv from Home Alone, said he lives dangerous, woke up dangerous, failed out of Cleveland.
Right, yeah.
Gets a little hope dream from Sean McVay and the Rams, and that's kind of the turning point of it. Or as Matt Cotrero said, he hates people saying turn the corner, but like that's really where Baker did it. He was on the team for 4 days, wins a game for Sean McVay, then goes to Tampa, and here we are talking about how we're kind of rooting for Baker.
Yeah, everybody's kind of rooting for Baker Mayfield right now. Yeah, it's true. Like unless he's playing your team, but it feels like everybody's pulling for that guy.
Bill Belichick would be another one. His complete persona has changed since post-Patriots.
So you think he's more liked now?
Oh, I think for sure.
Really?
Yeah, the girlfriend helps.
The girlfriend helps. He's going on. He's joking. He's laughing. He's smiling.
Yes, last year on TV, I forgot about
that.
That
whole thing. You're right. Bill Belichick. He's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're right. Last year, he really was good on TV. But now is he reverting back to New
England?
We'll
see how this North Carolina thing goes.
Yeah.
Let's bring an old friend back to the show from football season as we can ask Derek Johnson on the other side what draft night really is like when you hear your name. We will get to that on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle-tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Derek Johnson joining the show now here on Fesco and Dusty. And for all NFL draft-related interviews, brought to you by Powell Exteriors, JM Displays, and the Salvation Army. DJ, let's get right to it, man. How sweet is draft night when you hear your name selected to that team?
It's really a dream come true. Man, I just, every year it doesn't get old. It's not like, oh, here we go again. It's draft, you know, it's draft day. It's actually a day that that these kids been dreaming about, meditating about, saying when they were little, you know, even though it was far-fetched when they were smaller, saying, oh, I want to be an NFL player. Like, okay, yeah, you got to do a lot of work to get there. And today, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow are those days for these kids. And it's a super important time for their family, just the mentors. You know, it takes a village to raise kids. And I just tell you, man, to see Josh Simmons just get that call, the last pick in the draft to be a Chief, it's pretty cool. And we kind of need that position, so that's pretty cool.
No doubt. What do you think of that pick by the Chiefs? I really like the pick. It seems like he's universally loved by everybody nationally, and I think it's a good pick for KC. What do you feel about it?
I feel like it's a great pick. I mean, it was kind of expected. You know, sometimes when you go through drafts and different people get picked up, and sometimes you don't pick the position that you really need. Sometimes you pick the best player available. But when you pick for need and how we go about our business each year with Brett Veach, been doing a great job at just being very intentional with the picks so they can count and be purposeful throughout the year. Just because he's a young guy, that doesn't mean, oh, we'll use him later. It's like, no, oh, we're going to use him now. I heard he had some injuries or whatnot late, and he's still getting over that. But he'll be there for the season and everything. But at the same time, he actually was an earlier pick than what we picked. So we actually, you know, we picked up. You know, he's a top 10 type of talent. So big kid. Went to a big university. When you get these guys from big universities, there's some value there just because they've been playing against quality players week in and week out.
Yeah, Derek, I want to go back to maybe something that you experienced because you were the 15th pick in your draft. Before the draft starts and, like, these guys know they're going to go in the first round, like, is there some sort of, like, intel, or do they give you any sort of like insight, like, hey man, like, from what we're hearing, like, guys, you're around, like, you're gonna go early or you're gonna go middle of the draft, like, you know, prepare yourself for that. Like, what's that like when it really starts to kind of kick in? Because I know there was one side of it where it's really successful, like, I mean, obviously if you're like Travis Hunter, you know, you're going one or two, and then there's guys like Shador Sanders last night, right, that, you know, maybe thought he was gonna go in the first round and doesn't. Like, you know, obviously you weren't on that side of it, but what's it like being told, hey, you're gonna be a top 10, top 15 pick, and it actually happens?
Yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking because you really don't know. They have a board. Every team has a board of players that they want and need, and then they have a board of, like, hey, who's the best player in the draft? Sometimes people pick at, hey, this is the best player available. Let me pick that, because that method works as well. And the Chiefs didn't go with that. Well, they kind of did go with that. But it's nerve-wracking because I personally was scheduled for, when I was coming out, from 10 to 15. Dick Vermeil told me, hey, at 15, we're not going to let you, you know, I don't think you're going to get to 15, but, you know, if you're at 15, we're going to take you. It's just, we need help on defense, and that's just what it is. And lo and behold, at 15, I was there for them, and they was, you know, Gunther Cunningham and all those guys, like, oh, we got to take them all the way. But you just never know. I always tell rookies or people that's getting drafted, young athletes, hey, try to enjoy that day or those couple days, because you really don't know. The real work starts when you get to that team. When you get to that team, that's the real work. So don't worry about, oh, I need to go this team, that team. You can't control that. What you can control is when you get to that team, what you do after that.
Okay, that's a great point, DJ, because we were talking about that earlier. The guys who come into this league or in any professional sports league, where they were the best. You were the best in your high school. You were the best at college. You get to the pros, and now everybody's on that same level playing field. What do you have to do? Like, what would be your message to Simmons? Like, all right, you got to do this in order to make sure you have this continued success at the NFL level.
Well, learn that playbook. The playbook is bigger. is more expensive. It's just more detailed and learn it like the back of your hand. Like you, in order to have success and anticipate what the other team's going to do and what the opponent's going to do, you have to know your job like the back of your hand. And when you can clear that up, especially for young players, when you can clear your head and say, man, I know my job, I know my technique, I know exactly what to do. Now I can start game planning and saying, okay, this guy's going to do that, that guy's going to do that. Then that makes you a better player. Now they see, or the fans see, the coaches see, your teammates see, oh, this player is a really good player because this is what he did in college or whatnot. But if your head is cloudy and you're saying, oh, my goodness, how do I do this technique? Or I'm not sure about, you know, if Pat Mahomes checks this, do I have to do, like, no, you can't play fast that way. You can't be yourself. We drafted you because of what you did on film, because you knew exactly what you're doing. That's the same way when you come to the NFL. You have to learn that playbook because that's the biggest curve. Yes, everybody's pretty big. We can jump high. We can run fast. And we're pretty strong. Everybody's pretty even when it comes to that. The mental aspect of the game is what separates athletes.
DJ, last one for you. Here is Friday, day two of the draft. This is where I think Brett Veach nails it down. What do you want to see the Chiefs maybe do in these three picks in the second and the third?
Well, hey, Brett's been Veach has probably been the best at it over the last few years. Just being able to pick the best available. The good thing about the Chiefs, we don't have a lot of crazy needs, but one thing we do really well as when we get those people on the team, when we get those players on the team, we know how to use them. And Brett Veach is going to do that the next couple of days. This is where you win the draft. First round pick is kind of like, that's kind of slotted. That is what it is. But being able to make sure that you use those picks wisely when the second, third, fourth, fifth round, those are more, just as more important than the first round pick.
All right, DJ, we appreciate the time, and make sure you're hitting those mid irons well today and keep them straight, my guy.
Where are you playing?
I'm playing in Waco at some cotton gin or something. Cotton
play.
I don't even know the name of it. I just know I need to get the ball well.
That's it. Right. Straight. Who cares,
hey,
right?
Man, go out there and
love you, brother.
Put them low today, DJ.
All right. What?
Oh, man, we might have to cut that.
I love that guy. He's my favorite Chief of all time. We were talking about, you know, your favorite Chiefs draft pick. That's my guy right there. Yeah. That's my brother, DJ, man. I love that guy. I loved him from the day he was drafted. He's just the best, man. He's just the best. I love him.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite player of all time.
All right, Matt, let's just do one word.
One word on last night's NFL draft.
I thought we had a new open.
We do.
Surprising? I thought it was more entertaining than I gave it credit for, and
of
I
course,
apologize.
It always is.
Yeah, I was like, well, there's not a huge name. There's not a huge deal. There's not a, you know, like, let's see what happens. And then there's many storylines that always happen in night one. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun for me last night. There's a couple of big trades that we saw, you know, a couple of players fall that you thought were going to be there that weren't. So, yeah. No, it was a fun first night.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
There it is.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There you go, Spec. Love that. Okay, one word on
brioche.
Brioche, yeah. For sure. One word on Adam Schefter's outfit last night.
Can you see my face?
See my face and hear his voice. Hear my face and hear my and look at his voice.
Bad. Like I get the hoodie sport coat look that people try to pull off. That was the wrong hoodie to wear with that look.
I thought it was outdated. Orlovsky retired it. Whitworth created and retired it.
Oh, Whitworth retired it?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Has it already, like, has that been a thing? Like,
because Orlovsky.
Orlovsky's getting ripped by Dion this morning, so he's got other things to deal with.
Oh,
Orlovsky's getting ripped by Dion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about drafting quarterbacks. Orlovsky was, and then Dion shot back.
Because he was a bad quarterback or something like that?
No, because here's what happened. Orlovsky's been a big supporter of Shedeur Sanders, but last night showed a video that, you know, his flaws, right? And and somebody, you know, quote tweeted it and went, man, Dan Orlovsky's turning on Shedeur Sanders, man, big time. And Dion's like, yes, he is. Wow. Oh. And Orlovsky's like,
you don't believe now.
Orlovsky's like, I show like the downfalls of every quarter.
Yeah,
like, that's
come on,
part
man.
Of the process.
This is the job.
Yeah. So anyway, Schefter's outfit, wrong.
Yeah. Outdated, man. Just it ain't the look. Man, I know that you probably got a sponsorship for that, and I'm all about you doing your thing and getting your money, but man, that wasn't it last night.
No.
Adam. It wasn't 10 degrees in Wisconsin.
No, that was a bad choice. Like, that was one of those things where he prepared that on probably like last week, that this is what he was going to go with, and he was going with that outfit.
Committed.
And he went with it, and he committed to it, and it was not a good look.
That outfit was over a K?
What?
Over $1,000?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah, I'm
sure.
Yeah.
All their suits are got to be so nice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, though, like, that hoodie was, like, it was too thick a hoodie.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It just didn't sit right.
Cashmere.
Yeah.
I thought the best outfit of last night was Abdul Carter. Good God.
You did like the Abdul Carter one.
He looked like Morpheus coming into New York. That dude's a dog.
He's a badass.
That guy, that defensive line in New York now, good Lord.
Danny Fesco's got some movement down south after that pick was made.
Oh, very excited.
Yeah,
very excited
the
about
Knicks
the
one.
Pick. Yeah,
and the Knicks one, and they got a quarterback. Yeah, we'll have to talk about the Giants. That was interesting later on. One word on Josh Simmons to the Chiefs,
love
Ohio
it.
State.
Love.
Futuristic. You hope it works. You don't know the future. You hope the best for your future. You hope that he is your lock, stock, and ready to rock. If worms had arms, you hope that he's your left tackle of the future. You hope when Mahomes gets older and he gets into the prime of his career, he's that stopping gap, that wall where Mahomes can now officially be that step back, drop back passer instead of being able to have to improvise for everything, because that doesn't last forever. So futuristic.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
I mean, just don't not like even it. A second of reaction.
Well, he's been saying for a month he doesn't like this.
He has. And Chris, on the show, they both said last night, if he was there at 31, they both said they would have passed.
And I don't think Gold likes the pick either. So Goldie's going to be a little...
Oh, why doesn't Alex the pick?
I thought he had a grade A body type and...
That was the guy from Texas. But no, I think that he's like, they'll probably take Josh Simmons. I don't like that pick. I think he's on record for saying that.
Okay.
I'll ask him when
he gets here. Going to say, we'll have to get back.
Yeah, if he's not, who cares? We'll just say he didn't like it.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
No doubt.
Yeah, I would say steal for Josh Simmons.
I'm excited. Love it. Let's do it.
You got to trust the Chiefs medical staff. That's all you're putting trust into. Well, that's a pretty good thing to put trust into.
You know, somebody said that on ESPN last night. They said, I think it was Lou Riddick. He said they got Rick Burkhalter out there in Kansas City, who's one of the best at what he does. And so this is a good pick because Lou knows Rick
because of the
days in Philadelphia together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard that last night. I'm like, okay, that's a good pick. And guys, gals, everybody. Red Feach's track record is pretty damn good. I'm going to trust them.
When in doubt, trust Feach.
Exactly.
One word on our guy Mel Kiper last night.
Cringe.
Loyal, I would say.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a good
he was
one.
He was loyal to one. his take. He was loyal to his guy. And boy, he stood on business last night with Shedeur Sanders. He was
to make the aggressive.
Yeah, we always act like we're in the sixth round of the draft right now, and Shedeur Sanders hasn't been picked. No. And we're still
listen
where Lamar Jackson
background.
Wasn't taken. And the last time I checked, the Baltimore Ravens took Hayden Hurst, a 25-year-old tight end at the time, out of South Carolina, tight end. And then they traded back into 32 to take Lamar Jackson. We're ready to pack it up at the end of day one and get ready for day two, right? There's Lamar Jackson. That list of the pocket pass. Johnny Unitas, cut
there
by the Steelers, passed over, right? Nobody won it. Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right? Joe Montana went in the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent. Peyton Manning, people have to look like Ryan Leaf over him, put Phil Polian to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan. Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. He took him so far, something for Ken Henning over Matt Ryan. Hockey guy, how'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers, then Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. They're all traditional drop back pocket passers. I didn't mention the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
Mm. I mean, he was all over Shador Sanders last night. I've never seen somebody take it personal that a guy wasn't getting drafted like Kuiper did last night with Shador.
That was 90 seconds of him listing, like, most of them were, like, Hall of Famers, great quarterbacks he was listing and comparing him to this guy.
Right.
Jeez.
That's not fair to Shador.
No, that's true. That's exactly right. One word on tonight's portion of the draft.
Is honey spot the two words, or is that one spot?
I'll give you a hyphen.
Yeah, this is the honey spot.
This is the honey spot, baby. That's what Mitch called it.
Yep. We'll talk to Mitch coming up in a couple of minutes, too, which we're very excited about. But I think it's the honey spot tonight. You got 63, 66, 95, right?
That's it.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome. Let's
roll. I thought it was honey hole. Am I wrong?
I think he said honey spot, but you did dub it honey hole.
Honey spot.
You can call it whatever you want.
If worms had arms... God, Mel Kiper, man. The Dracula, man. Told you, he's out.
Is he going to show up? Like, God.
Not until the sun goes down.
They don't put him out there until the sun goes down, man. Until it's behind that, you know, Aspen Lawn Mosquito Dome.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You ain't seeing Kite, man.
And
he's coffined up.
Let's also hope Jordan Milroe goes before Shador Sanders, too.
He's dodging garlic and silver bullets like people dodging Shador.
I do hope that happens, Bob.
You're on board with me.
Absolutely, I'm on board with that.
Do you like Milroe? I wanted to talk to you about him real fast. Do you like him?
I think he's got all the physical traits. I think people talk about him like he's this erratic guy who runs out of the pocket. He likes to stay in the pocket. If you can get the accuracy down, he walks into the NFL, Bob, as the second fastest quarterback in the league. That's pretty awesome. If you can hone in on the arm talent, which is there, he's got a rocket. If you can get the accuracy, I think he could be the best quarterback out of this draft.
I've heard others say that as well. I've heard others talk about Milroe being kind of the wild card, the sneaky pick, the like guy you draft a little bit later, store him on the bench for maybe a year or so, and then see where he can go from there and see if he can be that guy. Now, the only thing that I'm concerned with is when Pelissero gets the comment from, you know, Milroe's agent that he's, you know, like a Michael Vick and he can run better than anybody else. I'm like, can he throw?
Ball carrier.
Yeah. But you're not a ball carrier as the quarterback. You need to be able to throw. And so for Milroe to have success, he needs to land with a successful offensive coach.
Exactly
he needs
right.
to be in Minnesota. He needs to be in Kansas City.
Los Angeles.
He needs to be in Los Angeles.
The Rams.
That's going to be an interesting one to watch. The Rams got an extra first-round pick next year. My God.
Woo.
Atlanta gave up a first-round pick next year. And you know, the Rams are going into next year with two first-round draft picks, a quarterback getting ready to, quote-unquote, retire at the end of the season. Who do you think is going to be picking one next year? Just guess right now.
Carolina?
Let's say Carolina.
Saints.
Saints is a good one.
Saints is a good one. Oh, God, that throws a wrench into my hypothetical.
Because the Arch's son goes home.
Yeah.
Because
it's the same. So what I was thinking of, like the Rams.
Come on. You can already see your foil cap.
Oh, well, you can see that. But who's going to be the coach of the New Orleans Saints? And, well, I guess if Arch Manning goes there, he'll run the team. It doesn't matter. But, like, I'm thinking, like, if you got two first-round picks that the Rams do they package the two and trade up to number one
Love
and take
it.
Arch Manning, right?
It's exciting.
Because if the Saints are picking there, they're going to take him. But now the Rams have two number ones. Matthew Stafford's on the tail end of his career. You trade two number ones. Watch the Rams yesterday. As Mike Florio pointed out, they went from F them picks to... F them picks, man. So now they've got two first-round picks next year. They've got a quarterback that's expiring. You've got Arch Manning coming into the league. You trade two first-round picks to move up to number one overall to take Arch Manning, and there you go. But I also think Jalen Milroe has to go to a team that has a legitimate offensive coach. If he goes to a place like, I don't know, Eberflus or someplace, Dallas, he's going to fail. He needs to go with a legitimate head coach.
Mitch Holtis joined us on the other side, and I want to give him my theory of why the Chiefs took Josh Simmons at left tackle. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Stay focused, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. It's hard when you got three picks in the second round, and it's the official Brett Veach dawn of the day. We are now joined by the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch, let's just get right to it, buddy. Josh Simmons, left tackle. Here's my theory. If it works out and he's that great, he's about the age of 28. He's locked up at left tackle. By then, Mahomes is about 34, 35. And all of a sudden, Mahomes isn't going to be able to run around as much anymore. He needs that stability at left tackle. What say you, Mr. Holthus, to that theory?
Love that theory. Let's say Sua Maatea hits at left guard. You've got the best center in the league. You get a long-term deal with Trey Smith. And now you're rocking and firing. He would have been, Josh Simmons, would have been the top tackle taken had he not hurt his patella tendon. And that's just there. I mean, maybe Campbell, but they would have been 1-2-2-1. And so to get this guy, yes, there's risk, and you've got to rely on your doctors as much too as Rick and his staff. But our team docs have done a fabulous job. John Paul Schreppel, JP's done a fantastic job. Darsh Thompson, I'm going to leave some of them out, but it's the cooperation between them, your trainers, your coaches. Think Trey Smith here. Trey Smith is Exhibit A of those guys working together and having a big-time deal ahead. So Simmons has just loads of athletic talent, and if he comes back from this injury, you could have your left tackle for 8 years.
You know, that's a point Lou Riddick made on ESPN last night too, Mitch. He was talking about, you know, Rick and the team docs, and they're like, if you're going to go to a spot, Kansas City's great when it comes to getting guys ready to play. And you can think about the Mahomes stuff and, you know, working on his ankle and knee and all that kind of stuff during the postseason and how they got him back fast and ready to go. And so I think that's an understated, underrated part of this entire pick. Like, he's not going to an organization that has, you know, the guy who put the needle in the side of Tyrod Taylor and punctured his lung as a doctor. We've got like legitimate people here that can get guys back and ready to go.
Yeah, I just spoke at a conference for these guys 2 weeks ago, and I talked about Paul Schreppel putting Mahomes's, ironically, his like patella area, this kneecap back in place in 2019. And it was the biggest moment that we've forgotten about. But it's the cooperation. Like, leave your ego at the table. The Ducks aren't worried about, hey, I'm the smartest guys here and or gals, and so we're going to take over. Or Rick and Tiffany and the rest of his crew saying, no, we're going to, or the coaches or scouts. It's everybody working together. And when you get that kind of rhythm horizontally and vertically, I talk about it all the time, then you trust this decision. Now, this injury is not an ACL or MCL. I mean, this is the hubcap. On the, and I'm not an orthopedist, but the patellar tendon is tricky, and the rehab from it is not an easy rehab. And so we're talking, he got injured on October the 12th. So curious how much he'll be able to do even at training camp. I heard he's going to be ready to go. Okay, we'll see. We don't know, but we'll see how his next 60 days go. But he's athletic. If take the injury aside, I love the fact that at San Diego State, and by the way, he went to Alex Smith's high school.
Oh.
That to me, Helix High. Very, very good program in San Diego. And that's where Josh went. But he was a right tackle at San Diego State. And if you go back and watch his video, you'll see how they used him. He was on the move and athletic. And then his 2023 season was very, very, very good at Ohio State. And they didn't win the national championship, but they made a run at it. What Andy Reid loves to do with all of his linemen, but his tackles, is have them on the move. This isn't just one-on-one pass blocking for Mahomes. The screen game, the inside power game, they have to be man block, zone block. But the tackles have to move. The guards have to move. The centers have to move. And so that's what's unique about Andy's offense. And if healthy, Simmons fits that because his feet, his agility, his athleticism are great.
Mitch, before we get into the strategy of tonight, I want to ask you, because we've kind of been on the same page, I think, in our thought process with what the division is tired of, and that is tired of losing to the Chiefs. And the two best running backs in the draft last night wind up smack dab in the middle of the AFC West. Chargers, we know they're going to run the ball now 60 times a game. You throw Jeunty with Bowers in Vegas, and a nightmare of mine has come true.
Well, and they got, yeah, and you got Najee Harris also as a Charger now, too. So you got two power running backs, and you've got a tag team there. I think Janty's really good. I think Maurice Jones-Drew, the Jags running back, is kind of what I see in Jeunty. And I think he's going to be a really good player. And to put him with Brock Bowers, yeah, we got challenges here. But I also thought Denver did an excellent job. Mm-hmm. And he's to get Jahdae Barron, who's outstanding, I think. And you put him with Surtain, and you're going to get a big-time secondary like they had when they had Tlaib and Harris and those guys. So I thought the division did very well, but so did the Chiefs, because if Simmons hits, man, you've got a pick as good as any of the other three that we just talked about.
Well, and the other thing that we're not talking about, and I don't think many people will because it's so insignificant at this point in time, but trading with Philadelphia, Mitch, and moving down one spot because Philly was fearing somebody was going to jump the Chiefs and take the guy that they wanted, so they made that pick, and then you get that fifth-round pick, which you didn't have, you know, going into this draft. And so not only did you move down a spot, still get the guy that you wanted, you also pick up another fifth-round pick. Like, that's a quietly really good move by Brett Veach.
Yeah, this is such a Veach play. That's when I saw it happen, we were live on Facebook Live, Matt McMullen and myself, and we're getting this first flying, right? It's and you're thinking, all right, the Philly, one slot seems weird, and then what do you get as the extra pick? And the three of us really were all kind of predicting the same thing earlier in the week, that the Chiefs would trade out of the pick. But I didn't think you'd still get the guy you wanted at 31 and get a pick in the fifth round. So this has got a Veach triple Bobby Witt Jr. to the gap all over it. Veach does it again. That fifth round pick now does a lot. I told you guys today, I'm super excited tonight, super excited about tonight and tomorrow. Don't sleep on Saturday, is the land of milk and honey, to have the end of second, actually beginning of third, which seems like almost the same area pick, 95, and now to get a fifth to get thrown in there gives you a couple things. One, there's plenty of day one starter potential in the three picks you have tonight if you stay put. But the fifth round pick gives you some extra equity if you want to package and move. There are, I just put it out on X, Twitter, that there's so many good players left. There's so many day one starters here. The corners got pushed back last night. So did the safeties. I'm stunned that Emmanuel, the safety from South Carolina, is still on the board.
Where do
he
you...
won't last there long. If you watch the video of him, I thought Ed Reed. Ooh. I seriously thought it. I love Starks, so I think that's a great pick. I'm not dissing that pick. But we pushed all these safeties down and all of the corners down for the most part. When Travis Hunter was the only corner, so to speak, and he's a half a corner, taken in the first 19 picks, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
Something, there's always a run, a push, something gets left and pushed down. That's corner and safety to me.
That's interesting because it had the feel of a Chris Jones getting pushed down to the second day of the draft yesterday with that kid from South Carolina, you know?
No question. I may be wrong. I think he's going to be a good pro, maybe a great pro. But these corners that are still there, Azariah Thomas of Florida State, I like. I mentioned that. I love Siobhan Revelle, who got injured early at East Carolina and had his 24th season wiped out. But if you go back and watch his previous video, that dude I think is going to be a star. And Fitz of Spags. I'm looking at Spags Fitz, right? They want to tackle. They're big. They're agile. And can move. They may not win the fastest 40 time, but they're not slow. And it's just think of Spags as corners. And there's a whole bunch of guys already that are still there today on the board to possibly move up or stay where you're at and still have them.
Well, Mitch, we appreciate the time. Enjoy day two, day three. and all the days of the draft. I'll do my best, as always, sir, to respect you and always think of you and stay focused.
Well, this is where, and Bob, tell me, this is where he gets focus drift. He's all excited about Thursday night, shiny toy, and then Friday he's like, I think I'm going to go golfing. This is when it all happens. Mm-hmm. And again, don't sleep on Saturday. If you lose your focus on Saturday, that's minus 10 points.
It is a big loss for him on Saturday. Mitch, we'll see you on Monday morning. Looking forward to recapping the whole draft and seeing which guys are going to be future all pros. And I will leave you with this to all the people out there who are saying it must be nice to be the Chiefs and Eagles to be able to draft guys. They put themselves in this position. This is what hard work is all about.
It's also the reason why I'm as excited, maybe more excited, about tonight than last night.
No doubt about it. Mitch, take care and have a good weekend.
See you, boys.
Real quick, before I give the out of left field question, Micah Parsons had Abdul Carter in his podcast last night. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. Micah Parsons, quote, you got to wear that number 11. Abdul Carter responds, I don't know, I got a different number in mind. Micah Parsons then asks, what number do you have in mind? Abdul Carter goes, I don't know. Hard pause. 56 sounds real good.
Oh, my God. Now,
easy.
I'm just now picturing Lawrence Taylor this guy talking about this, right?
Hey, Michael Irvin gave it to CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, if LT says
it's Dez Bryant who gave it to CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And Michael Irvin gave it to Dez Bryant.
You got to catch Lawrence after he's had one of those 41 Coors Lights that he had on draft night when he was drafted. How was draft night for you? Hell if I know. I had 41 Coors Lights. I don't remember anything.
That was Mitch Holtis, and all draft-related interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, Salvation Army as well. Coming up,
that's
on the
a lot
other
of
side.
Pressure for yourself, though, if you want to wear that number,
brother.
Oh, my God.
Maybe the best to do it. The out-of-left-field question, because Shore Sanders could probably have this question in mind. Who would you want to trade lives with if you could? Anybody out there, who would you trade lives with? You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.